Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani, boing, boing.
Today is Wednesday, July 25th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM, on the Fishnet Radio for Woke Folk and the Weird, Feared, and Fully Realized Resistance. The resistance around 4:30 in the morning. Stand up, no retreat, no surrender, moved, and took Occupy to the greater Cascadia region. It is given up anything. In fact, more people have stood together side by side, arm in arm, on behalf of immigrants, of families that have been torn apart, and laws that are being entirely politicized and used to hurt the weakest members of society. And we know history has or should have taught us by now that we are only as strong as our weakest link. So something to think about. Yesterday we spoke with Sam Husseini about Donald Trump's performance in Helsinki, largely performed like one of those old burlesque striptease acts behind a curtain with articles of clothing tossed over the top of the wire. So we still haven't got any answers, and what we're left with instead is, well, what are we left with? We're left with the strange tacit assumption that Donald Trump is a president, and that what's happening all around us is normal, and that we are not under any threat of nuclear annihilation. Watching Korea supposedly dismantle anything to do with nukes is to forget to send the satellites over and picture. All they're doing is probably driving it to a new site and building it again. I mean, in any case, we've come a long way from the Pentagon Papers to the Penthouse Papers. And we have Juan Coles joining us today. Thank you so much for being with us, Juan.
It's my pleasure.
Can you take up, I can't think of the exact wording of it, but if you could just take up from your piece a significant and important stage in the unfolding story right now of Donald Trump's antics.
Sure. Well, I've written a lot about the Helsinki performance. I think that's what it was. One of my points in one column that I wrote was that whereas the Washington establishment across the board, and this is bipartisan, I think, to some large extent, is absolutely appalled at the idea of Trump praising and meeting with Vladimir Putin on the grounds that Putin unilaterally annexed the Crimea, is active in eastern Ukraine as we speak, and has had enemies poisoned, and has fairly openly interfered in the U.S. electoral process, that these are the charges against Putin and the reasons for which the elite is upset with Trump for making nice with him, but that all those same things can be alleged of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
And what he's done, Netanyahu has, if not equal, certainly exceeded Putin's maneuvers, Putin's actions. It's amazing to stand watching over the years. Every time anything to do with a nuclear arsenal, no matter where on Earth, I of course the North Korea business was a stellar example, and yet dead silence on Israel's arsenal and its out and out aggression, in not just against the Palestinian nation, but the entire region has been destabilized. That's remarkable. In the article you do provide insights. It's still understanding it is one thing, and then having to watch as the government, successive governments, disgrace themselves.
Yeah, I mean, well, Netanyahu has flown to the United States, as in 2012, during a presidential election, for the Republican Party.
That's
he campaigned
right.
Openly for Romney, and the amount of interference of him and the people in the United States who admire him in our electoral process is enormous. And Putin, at the very least, had the dignity to use that troll farm in St. Petersburg rather than coming to Florida himself. And then with regard to the Crimea, I'm a critic of unilateral action, and I think that Putin was wrong to approach the issue in the way that he did, just sending in troops. But Russia has a historical claim on the Crimea. It was only transferred to the Ukraine in the early 50s by Nikita Khrushchev, or in the later 50s by Nikita Khrushchev, I think. And in any case, had been Russian territory since the late 1700s, and it was transferred at a time when Ukraine was a province of the Soviet Union, it was a Soviet Socialist Republic, so that it was kind of still in the family. So I think it was a fallout of the arrangements after the end of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War that has been very badly handled by the Russians. If they wanted the Crimea, they felt that it was wrong that it went to the Ukraine. They should have initiated international diplomacy to that end. But they had a legitimate claim on it, whereas no international law, no international body has ever awarded the Israelis the West Bank and Gaza. In fact, they were explicitly excluded from those territories by the 1947 UN General Assembly partition plan. So there's no legal basis for the Israelis, and in fact, it is a contravention of the UN Charter to annex territory as a result of military conquest. There's no legal basis for Netanyahu his creeping annexation of the Palestinian West Bank and his keeping 4.5 million Palestinians stateless. So it's actually much worse what Israel is doing in the occupied territories than what Putin did.
And it's to me, I'm just waiting for some public intellectual or pundit to get up there and mention the Balkanization of the potential future state of Palestine. Balkanization, indeed. That's what it is, and yet the word Balkanization in the context of Palestine and the future of the Palestinian people is grimly amusing, I suppose. But, excuse me, what you point out in that piece is that what we really have to do is stand up and point out the fact that Israel has taken Palestinian camps, enclaves, and broken up the country, so that even if we stop, everything froze right now, really, what has Palestine got left? What has Netanyahu done? And no one has, and with the silent, the complicity of the global community of nations. It's compared with Putin's actions, it's just there's a staggering gap. I guess you'd call it cognitive dissonance there. It's a wonderful piece, and I cannot find the exact wording of the name of the piece. If you could please remind me. I read it a number of times.
Nowadays, we luckily have very good search algorithms, so if you just go to my website, JUANCOLE, JuanCole.com, to informed comment.
There you go. Listeners, it's all
right
there. It's all there.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, this most recent piece, though, is very important to read, very important to be aware of. It's so easy to compartmentalize. I thought we are being programmed by mainstream media to only look at, it's like being in a dark room with a flashlight and being told to describe the room. Well, you could do it, but it's not, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's easier to just look at what's being pointed out, and that's what we tend to do. but to see the context in which Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump's dialogue, their communication takes place. It's that is where we really ought to be looking. I did love Dan Coates' remark that when he learned that Putin was being invited to come and enjoy some of the election, the 2020 election, the midterm election, the preliminaries, the 2018 preliminaries. That's sweet. That's just amazing. And as said, you know, Dan Coates, that's going to be special. I'm sorry. Do please, I'm so glad that you're able to join us today. Once more, remind listeners of where they can go to get more of this. And I do commend listeners' attention to these pieces.
Thank you so much. Well, it's at the website Informed Comment. It's juancole.com, Juan Cole.
Thank you so much. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. Derek Cook's engineered for us today. Derek is, of course, our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, the war of words continues to escalate between Trump and the Iranian government in the aftermath of the U.S. decision to abandon the Iran nuclear